Today, we're excited to host Sheila Slick, MS, president of Five Milestones LLC, a seasoned professional with over 25 years in the business realm. Sheila's expertise spans from empowering organizations to leading community initiatives, highlighted by her tenure as chairman of the board for SCORE Volusia Flagler. With a master's in leadership and a bachelor's in business, plus her certification as an entrepreneurial facilitator, Sheila brings a wealth of knowledge and experience. She also shares her insights as the host of Milestone Moments in Business and Leadership, making her a true embodiment of leadership excellence. Today, she'll share practical advice, leadership strategies, and inspiring stories to guide and motivate aspiring leaders. Get ready for an episode filled with invaluable lessons from Sheila's remarkable journey to leadership success.
This is a Touchstone Publishers presentation, your trusted source of leadership knowledge.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Glenn. Here again with you. I think we have another in a series of great informative leadership excellent podcast. The bottom line here is that we give people solutions and we just don't try to pump you up. We don't do that. So good morning, Ms. Sheila. Thank you for coming on board with us this morning. Appreciate it a lot.
And thank you, Glenn, for the invitation and for that marvelous introduction.
I always tell people to give me their introduction and I think they think I'm do it the way you wrote it, but I don't for some reason, because I think once I get an opportunity to go through and look at some of your things and look at your, which we're going to talk about, by the way, your podcast, we're going to talk about that, but some of the things that you've been doing, it makes me want to change it a little bit, which always leads me to my first question. When we look at your organization as a total, okay, Five Milestones, what is unique about that? What is different that maybe you ought to make sure that people hear and understand? What's unique about your organization?
So I say my expertise, because of the amount of years that I have in business, right? So it's a combination of education and hands-on experience. Number two, and I ask my clients, why do you work with me? Right, man, they say, I take action. And that sometimes makes it hard to be what would be a coach, because a coach is supposed to tell you what to do and lead you. And I'm like, I can just click it away and do it a lot faster for you. So I would say it's the personalized service and support.
Okay. Because a lot of people in your position that are coaches and what help, they have online programs to explain the what. But you're actually taking over the what and actually doing it. So that's a big difference, it sounds like to me, than what's been offered out there.
Yes. And in my case, I would say I started off doing it the opposite way. My third company is a software company, and that was founded in 2013 when I was living overseas. And that was something I never, you know, would have expected or made a business plan for, because while I was studying and growing up, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have the mobile application. So it was a business that kind of came by chance, and I just took that opportunity and went with it. So that's Five Milestones today. By building mobile applications, I'd have hundreds of people all come up and say, I have an idea for an app. I found myself saying, great, an idea is just an idea unless you take action. But if you do take action, are you prepared to not only pay for the development, but how are you going to fund this? How is this? Do you have the money for the marketing and so forth? So it became a consulting process. Good. And what help other businesses with their products, you end up becoming a business consultant. So fast forward to 2020. I wanted to give back to our community, and it's one of my core values, right? Not just continuous learning, but giving back and meet like-minded people. So I joined SCORE, and then I became chair of the board for 2 years, which I just completed in December.
Okay, and SCORE, for those of who don't know it, that's pretty much a small business administration application, not application, but a process. Tell, I wasn't on the list, but I'm starting to wonder, as a CEO, why would I share with my team to go to SCORE to help them? What are they going to get from that?
SCORE is a national nonprofit with over 11,000 mentors. And the mentors are either retired executives with 20, 30 years of experience, or they're working business owners like myself that just want to give back. So a lot of times people need that business consulting, or they'll end up in the SBA and they are a partner of the SBA. So it is free of cost. We have a lot of resources online. So for example, how would you send someone from your team? Maybe you need help with finances or marketing. They have a ton of workshops. You can sign up for their newsletter, or you could find a mentor. My own husband, he has his own company too. Mm-hmm. And that I would love for you to go see SCORE and get a second opinion and meet with one of their CPA or treasurer, so to speak. So it all really depends on where you need help. And lastly, you're not tied down at just one mentor or a website. You could have a team of mentors. So sometimes there's up to 5 mentors in one particular case.
So let me see if I'm understanding correctly, and I'm going to paraphrase and see if you agree with this, see if it connects. But it sounds like that as my running my own company, I can connect with a small SBA, of course, and then through SCORE, and I can send my marketing manager or wannabe marketing manager or somebody on my team to become a pillar of resource that can get it from the SCORE. All right.
They Correct. Can get it there. They don't have to go through the SBA. Normally, people looking to start a business, they're looking for what? A lot of people are like, I need money or I need financing. So they end up in the SBA. And then the SBA will help them, because in order to get any kind of financing, you need a business plan. And so many people that aspire to start a business or they need a loan to grow their business just don't have the business plan and the essentials they need to qualify. So they send them to go get mentoring or get someone to help you so that you are loan ready. So you can bypass the SBA. You can just go to score.org and start learning today.
Yeah. Okay. Score.org. Let's put that up. Maybe I'll get that in the notes for the show. Get that in there. I want to, because oftentimes people go to the SBA when they're entrepreneurs, but you have some work that you did that, as I was thinking about it, said, even as a CEO, which I'm not, but even if I was a CEO, I think there's some lessons that I need to figure out the mindset of an entrepreneur. Can you talk about that work that you're doing?
So an entrepreneurial mindset, from the way I describe it, and I am a certified facilitator through the ELI initiative, which is based on the Ice House book. That's a whole certification where there's different principles that say that no matter what you're doing in life, if you apply these principles of an entrepreneurial mindset, you're likely to succeed. One of them, for example, is taking a problem and turning it into an opportunity. Another one is education. Another one is community. And it's an entire program to get students, employees, or business owners to just make sure that they think through these principles. And the book is great because the book talks about, it's a story of a young man that I guess was raised in the cotton fields. And then he grows up with his uncle who owned the ice house. And that's where these principles came from. So the book and principles, I absolutely love teaching.
See, now you said something earlier that I think is missing sometimes. You talked about community and how we have to connect with the community or learn with the community. Can you share with me maybe some of your leadership style or your leadership principles that impacted organizations that helped them impact the community?
So I did go back to school a few years ago because I had always won an MBA, and to my surprise, I ended up in leadership. And you've been a CEO, you've been at the top of an organization, and you think, I know how to lead. And when I began taking some of those courses, I thought, wow, this is an entire master's in itself. And it fascinated me so much that I went ahead and completed the master's in leadership. So there are different styles. When we talk about community, I think a servant leadership would be the best way to describe that. But even as a business owner, we serve our clients. So I think I'm a servant leader because I'm a business owner. And when you're serving others, you're thinking about what they need you're taking their opinions into consideration, and that is so important to not only serve them, but to make unbiased and good decisions.
That is critical. That is critical when we start talking about servant leadership, that I see how that would serve the community. Is that a message that's pretty well received?
Is it? Yes, I am. But to me, leadership begins with self-awareness. And I think a lot of people think that because of where they're at, without doing a lot of that self-awareness and that reflection, it really hinders your own personal growth. And when I gave back, and I'm always looking to give back, because during that time of self-reflection, I look back at some of the highlights in my career while I lived overseas. And I had realized that was the missing piece when I came back to Florida, where I live now. I wanted to set some roots. And a lot of times, especially now, even like after the COVID and so many people depending on digital products, we don't take the time sometimes to look up. And things that you take for granted could be life-changing to someone else. One of my favorite first clients that I met was a retired teacher. She couldn't make it on her ends meet with her retirement. So now we're talking teacher. We're talking a woman that dedicated her life to teaching. Yes. And she's retired. So she finds a hobby and she opens up and she wants to do something more than an Etsy, but she doesn't know how to use social media. And you talk to a younger person, where do you start? You're learning and learning. 3 years late, she's built her own Shopify site. Her videos are like, how are you doing those videos? You got to teach me. And to hear them now, not only being able during their retirement years to have this lifestyle business, but providing the joy of doing the work they love and then being able to monetize it, to me, that's priceless. And so in one of the interviews I had, they said, if you were to start a movement, what would it be? And I said, it'd be simple. If we all just took 1 hour and just thought of doing something to help someone else, you feel valuable. Because when they say thank you, you have no idea, you know, what that impact does to them. But by not taking that moment to do that and only focusing on money, on what I got to do now, or I just don't have the money. If you have time to watch a Netflix series, if you have time to do a lot of things, I'm sure you have an hour to just try and find a way to.
That's a real popular, I won't say popular, but it's a real, a lot of people do that. They waste an hour watching TV or 2 hours or 3 hours and they don't. Increase, and then all of a sudden they're saying, I don't have work-life balance. Okay, think about what you're doing and maybe you can create some work-life balance. But you did say something that I'm not a fan of the term right now, emotional intelligence. I'm a fan of what it means and what it does. But one thing you mentioned right away that was important was self-assessment, self-awareness. Do you have any exercises? And if you don't, this is fine. This is a surprise question for you. Do you have any exercises or any way that you help people understand how important it is for them to be aware of themselves, for them to know where they are and what they're doing?
Yes. So it can begin in a different ways. There are different websites, and it's great sometimes to be led to that particular test that will ask a few questions. Some may take an hour, some are more detailed. And you may be like, where is this going? Like, how is this computer going to do this algorithm? And then you start reading about yourself. Mm-hmm. We all have coaches. While I was chair, I had 30 mentors, and I'm always surrounded by mentors. But one of my latest mentors, she's a PhD. She helps C-suites turn into entrepreneurships. We became strategic partners. And I said, I need you to also help me bounce things around. So she sent me this test. And I took about an hour. I paid, I think, $60 for the test. So it was a different assessment right now coming from someone who's been in the educational consultant. I was blown away by the results. It made me make some decisions that changed the path that I'm taking in my business. And it was simply because it put in a word certain things that they resonated when I read them. It's almost like your intro, right? When I said, oh, wow, what a beautiful intro. That was me you were talking about. But the way it sounded and the way that you showed it really resonated and made me think, wow, it impressed me. So did this report. If you don't want to go that route, an easy way and is to simply Google your values and revisit those values, because what's important for you today isn't necessarily what's most important for you next year. Our lives change. Our kids and family value, right? As a mom of three, and while you're raising these kids, you're going to put that before you put other things. But now as you're like empty nesting, you're like, wait, I have a little bit more time. So family is still important, but I need to skill myself. So I'm going to put education first. So that's a great, simple exercise that anyone can do, is simply go into Google and get a worksheet or a list of values and start by circling the top 10 as you read through them.
Read through them, yeah.
Really resonate with you. And then reread those 10 and knock it down to 5. And if you can narrow it down to 3, you're going to be seeing what those 3 things that you should focus on immediately do. Whether it's religious, it's business, it's profit, it's money, it's giving back, it's family, the values are there.
I find that interesting, because as you're talking through it, I found myself in my own head going back and saying, okay, I value that. And so that's a really good way to start that self-assessment. Thank you for that very much. Thank you.
Share, what was your first one that came to mind?
Education. I love. Just being able to educate myself. That's, I don't watch TV that much. No, unless it's a YouTube video I want to see or something. But the education, you got to read. You got to do those things. So for me, it's a value, and I want to be an educator. So it's important. Yeah, absolutely. That's it's funny you asked that, because that hit me right away and just stuck there. So what's next? But again, I was listening to this. I couldn't really go to what's next. I'll blame you for that. Okay. I want to ask you about your podcast, but I want to ask you a little bit about this work that you have is up on the screen now, your Foundation for Professional Excellence. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So while I was studying the master's, one of the main projects we had to do to complete was to come up with our own program. And so this has been something in the works, because see, when I go back and get the master's, I thought, like, I'm in business entrepreneurship, but how can I share some of that knowledge and turn it into a program? So through my service and through some research, I found some skills that I believe by implementing some of these leadership, that same knowledge, with some of these soft skills that you may say, they didn't teach me that in school, can really help you take you to the next level. One of the main points of a Foundations of Professional Excellence is communication. Mm-hmm. And you need communication skills every day. Like, I'm looking how to continue building on those communication skills. And people say, you're a great communicator. I'm like, but I can keep learning. Something as simple as learning where to place your hands, they have significance, and it's not sign language. And I start learning and I start putting these together, and I thought, this is incredible. I've done some research, found that Harvard, Stanford, they have fascinating studies on sign language.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
And I never understood what, like, just an example, this power pose, right? So you think, well, it's like the Superman power pose.
Yeah.
And by standing in that position, like 2 minutes, for example, you're actually passing certain chemicals to your brain that are going to provide more confidence. It's a little anything that now it's in my head. And so if you're feeling unconfident, whether it be at an interview or at a pitch or speaking in front of someone, or at least go to the bathroom and stand there for 2 minutes, right? Come on, chemicals, come up. Same, the finger placement, right? So just not. Well, communication is fascinating. And then you've got the communication that you need, whether you're looking to negotiate, sell, market, persuade. So that's my favorite part of Foundations of Professional Excellence. We also talk about critical thinking, which is not overthinking. It is making the right decisions. And we talk about reliability.
Oh, give me reliability. When I think of that, reliability means getting the work on time, turning your projects in on time. But is it more to it than that?
I believe it's one of the things that has just opened so many doors for me. And a perfect example, if you were to ask the co-chair, why did she pick me? And she said, because you always said yes, and I could always count on you. I said, you just summarize the importance of reliability. It wasn't whether I wanted to do some of these tasks. I'd say what my son says now, I got you. And I would follow through. And the moment you're able to do that with good quality, the doors continue to open. So reliability will provide a lot of opportunity. And if you just took out what reliability meant, right? What happens when your car's not reliable? What happens when your internet's not reliable? You can just start understanding why it is important and then understand what keeps you from being able to be reliable.
That's a part that I had not included in the ability to be an excellent leader. Reliability is something that needs to be mentioned. And thank you for that. That's very powerful. I'm a person that would take a stand, because if you don't take a stand, you stand for nothing. Stand for something or you stand for nothing. In our current environment, when it comes to leadership skills for women, I don't really see, I'm starting to see more. And I'm sure you're starting to see more because you're one of the teachers of it. But how do you leverage your unique strengths as a woman leader? How do you put those into the game plan, because you're still having to deal with mostly men, I'm sure. So how do you leverage your unique strengths in that area as a woman leader?
You use the word wants, and it's called emotional intelligence. And it has to do about controlling your own emotions. You can't change other people's actions or words. So when you are different, or when you stand out, or when you're that woman leader, by being able to control your emotional intelligence, I think that's really key, especially if you're in situations like I was in the tech industry. And it wasn't just I'm a woman, it was also ageism, because sometimes as these industries evolve, the younger you are, the more likely you are to have the opportunity to receive that education, because it just simply didn't exist when it was, you were going through that. And if you're able to just embrace your differences and understand that's your unique value proposition, that it's only going to make you more unique, it takes a lot. And the second thing is, and I wrote an article on Medium, it's called Leading with the Heart. And leading with the heart is good, but you gotta, in order to make unbiased decisions and fair decisions, you have to remove emotion from them. So I think that's a harder part sometimes, perhaps for a woman. And I'm not saying that men aren't emotional, but I would say that's one of the challenges, right? You empathize, but how are you able to maintain the empathy by separating the emotion?
That feels extremely difficult, because when you're empathy, I always look at empathy and the fifth habit of highly effective people. You have to seek to first understand, but you're saying you need to remove the emotion from that. I agree with that. Do you have any tips that might help people say, okay, I'm going to go with my heart, but there's no emotion involved in my heart's decision?
I said that was the challenge.
Okay.
You have to be very
You did say that.
I would say there's no secret recipe, but when I began that master's, my first course was called critical thinking. I was like, I'm a critical thinker. It turns out I had confused critical thinking with overthinking. And critical thinking about using perspectives and going around a circle before you make those decisions. And you need to learn to see them from different viewpoints. So if by using empathy, I immediately empathize with you,
it's great.
I need to make sure that I'm able to see it from a lot of different perspectives before my emotion just says, I just connect with you. And that's hard. So it's a process, right? And I guess I had one of my interviewees in Milestone Moments. And when I made that question, when we were talking about layoffs, he said that's where you would also hire a third person to come on in that isn't emotionally attached. If you had to make certain decisions at a company, you would get a consultant or a firm to come support and guide you.
You're right. Okay. You mentioned it. Milestone Moments. That appears to be a very, and I'll be honest, I only had a chance to listen to part one. That looks like a very powerful podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So it just launched this month. Milestone Moments in Business and Leadership aims to share the stories of experts in business, thought leaders that want to share their insights with my audience. In a way, it's continuing building those relationships that I have, that I've done with our community, giving me that space to continue listening and helping these entrepreneurs promote their business, because what small business owner doesn't need to get their message out? But at the same time, I incorporated leadership because I thought you don't have to be a business owner in order for me to be able to share your insights. So I am looking for experts, consultants, people that have like that proven track record that I know that advice is not fluff, so to speak.
Okay. And then as a host of my own podcast, and I know it's difficult, so I'm just going to ask, when you're in the Milestone Moments, in order to find someone who's not providing just the fluff, how do you go about that? How do you decide, okay, when you look at the material, because you're going to be busy and you're going to think, I need to talk to 200 people this year on my podcast. You're not going to be able to go through all that material. You're not going to be able to connect with them one-on-one until you get them on. You hopefully make good decisions, good, use your insight, heart-led decisions, the who to pick. But who do you recommend? How do you go about deciding, okay, that's a good person to speak with?
So number one, what my company, Five Milestones, does is we leverage technology. And so I became, talking about continuous learning, I became a certified partner with the very same business software I use for my own company. And thanks to the automations that I have in place, I was able to start this podcast, because unless you have an entire team running a podcast, it takes time. It takes time to find the people, like you said, to vet them, to book them, to then edit this very same audio, then to upload it. It's a process, right?
Yeah.
So I was able to automate the entire booking process so that my focus is on just sharing the initial landing page where I need them to submit their name and their interest. From that moment on, I can follow up. And then I spend my time making sure that I go through their website, I go through their LinkedIn, which is my favorite social media platform.
Yeah,
absolutely. And by sharing that link, I also invite the guests that I want on the show. So my time for the podcast is going in learning these stories, learning about them, and saying, what do I want to learn from them? And that's what I'm hoping to share in this podcast. With that in mind, I'd love to return the invitation and have you, so we continue the leadership in Milestone Moments in Business and Leadership.
Be happy to do it. Of course, happy to do it. I want to ask you, though, when we're looking at the Milestone Moments, from what looks like, haven't dove in as well as I should have, but when you are putting this together, what are the top three things you think a CEO is going to take from that program?
So I don't know that it's only for CEOs.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I know it's not, but
yes, my inspiration is to help inspire others to take action. I think sometimes we procrastinate and something is holding us back. And I am a firm believer that it takes sometimes just one person to believe in you, or for you to find that right message that clicks with you. That'll be that milestone moment, that turning point that leads you to take that next step. And so one of my latest guests, she's not there. She's quite the leader. She's got a CFA. She's a vice president of Toastmasters, which is one of the organizations I want to join. And she was so motivational and inspirational, yet she's never owned a business. She's probably about 15 years younger, but the impact she had on me was like, wow, I can't wait to share your story. I don't know that would be for a CEO, but that could certainly help someone looking for that impact, for that motivation from what I believe is a true leader in her community. So that's why it's business and leadership. It is not focused on CEOs. And I also empathize a lot with the employees of organizations. Definitely not tailored just to CEOs. And I'm testing it. I'm seeing where my audience, where they resonate. I can tell you that another one of my guests is an activist. I was learning about how to become an activist 101. And I knew off the bat, I was like, oh boy. And I'll have another educational consultant soon on the show. And she's going to talk about policy. These are things that in order to be a leader, in order to make that impact, you need to know all the different things out there and the different ways that you can make an impact. And what a better way to learn than from someone that's got 15 to 30 years of experience, a PhD, a book.
Yeah.
What I hope to share.
And the reason why I asked that, because my CEO, she did listen to the program and she got on my case for missing an opportunity to speak with you. And so I, in turn, got on someone else's case for missing the opportunity to speak with you. I'll pass the blame around pretty good. But she mentioned something just late yesterday afternoon about your work. And again, I'm going to paraphrase it. And you let me know if you think it's correct or not. But when we look at the idea that as a CEO, it's your number one job to develop your people, she feels like your podcast is great so far. It's a great source of information to help her develop the rest of her people. Is that, was that kind of in the background of your thoughts, or is that something that you hadn't thought about? It just came that way out to her. Can you share a little bit about that? The ability to help your team, help your other people get better.
My latest episode definitely does that, to the point where I shared it to a few people like, look, you can connect with him on LinkedIn. Don't miss that opportunity, because it was great insights. But in this case, it sounds like I need to have a conversation with her, or she needs to. I'm craving that feedback right now, because I'm mind sometimes when I do the things I do, I'm thinking, what's that legacy? If I want to train my kids, what would I share with them? What's the advice I would give them? And so these are stories that are going to help me grow and that I believe will help someone grow. So whether it's a personal development at the entrepreneurial, maybe it's that combination, because I've got it all, that'll bring it together. And as long as it helps someone, even one person, just take that action or grow in one way, I've accomplished my mission. It is not a paid podcast. I'm not making a cent off the podcast. Yeah, I need help too there, right? I haven't taken it to that. My focus has been on getting these people that I believe have a great message to share and the ability to inspire someone to take positive action.
Great. Let me ask you a little bit about the five milestones. What's the best way I know to discover what a company is all about? What's your mission statement?
I do put that we're not just a company, but we're about making positive change. So as a business coach, my mission is to help you grow. And it all comes together when we help others grow. In your case, another company, we're all just empowering ourselves financially. And I am not a huge tech company out there. So I believe that when we can support other small companies, in Spanish, we say la unión hace la fuerza, which means union is strength. And I believe in supporting those small businesses, small to medium businesses, to promote economic development, which to me means economic empowerment. Anytime I can help someone be independently financially independent, it's just a big plus. That's why in the end, I say we're more about change. As a company too, we have participated in many community events that have given back. So before I lived in Florida, I lived overseas in a third world country, second port to Haiti. And while I was there, it was 2013, I had a very fancy retail store. We had four stores with my grandma and my mom, but I decided to learn how to code to make sure that my children were exposed to STEM, because the moment I saw that iPod touch get invented, I thought, this is a skill you'll need for that mission. So I had about 13 apps up in the App Store. I had multiplication tables, timers, sight words, any app that I could build for my kids to say, no, here's an app for you. Instead of teaching her the timetables, I just made an app. I had about 13 up in the App Store when a local university said, can you participate in the NASA SpaceX Challenge? Like, I'm not a hacker. I don't know what a hackathon is. That app received a global honorable mention out of 7,600 projects for most inspiring. We were tracking the International Space Station, and then if you saw it or you did, you'd share it to social media. And
wow,
that was how Slick Developers was born. Slick with the idea that I've got three kids, someone will want a software technology company. As a company, we started not only training programs for the State Department. STEM in Access was a two-year program that I developed as a company, but we also volunteered our time to then do other hackathons startup weekend. So when I would combine the company giving back to the community, great things would happen. It also ended up in a five-minute television segment called Técnicas, where the idea was to just talk about one specific topic, educate about technology. So throughout my life, when I did my self-awareness, I realized that there was no greater pleasure than the pleasure I received from helping others while living overseas. And that's how I got in a score. So when I say we're about making positive change, we implement it just like we do the software. We don't just say it.
Wow. Very useful. Very powerful. I want to be respectful of everybody's time. We've already gone just a little bit past. But I want to ask you one final question. I didn't give you any heads up on this one either. But what question did I not ask you that I should have asked you? Is there a question that I did not ask you that I should have asked you?
I'm sure there always is, but I did enjoy this interview. You have great communication skills. I wish you could come in and be one of my guests. So I congratulate you. Sounds like you have a wonderful boss and a wonderful company.
And she's okay. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing about that. But I can't let you off the hook. What question did I not ask you that I should have asked you?
What one piece of advice? That's what I end my podcast with. What one piece of advice would you give to my audience listening? Because we go through so much, right?
Okay.
Well, if that were the question, because this is I'm putting my leadership hat on, not my business.
Yep. That's the question.
Say, to be reliable, it opens opportunities. Reflect on your core values and how you can apply reliability to one of them to open up a door. So if it's continuous education or education, what one thing could you do that by being reliable could open up a new door?
Love that. Love that. And that's obviously, you make that into a YouTube short for sure. That's really good. Really good.
TikTok. If TikTok works, you get back with me. If anyone in your audience has a good TikTok, I have not wanted to do TikTok. So if it works.
Well, that would be a good place to put it up, but I'm not, we'll see. I'm not going to go against what the powers that be say, but okay. On the screen, everybody's seen it. It'll be in the notes, your LinkedIn. So everybody, I highly suggest that you go ahead and connect and share knowledge. Sound like Miss Sheila's very open to, after you listen to a couple podcasts and read some of her materials, for your feedback and also to help you get better. So please, everybody, take a moment and get that down before we sign off, which we're signing off right now. Thank you, Miss Sheila. I 100% appreciate you being with us today, 100%.
Thank you again.